William and Flora Hewlett Foundation, helping people build measurably better lives. On the web at hewlett.org.
This is Morning Edition on 88.9 WCVE, Richmond Public Radio. Brian Ford joins us now from RBC Wealth Management for his analysis of business and financial news, as he does most Monday mornings at this time. Hello, Brian.
Morning, Wayne. How are you?
Just fine, thank you. Well, we seem to be in a holiday mode this week. It'll be a short week for most people, and many will probably be combining summer vacations with the 4th of July holiday weekend. So we expect business to kind of slow down around the globe, right?
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. I mean, this is traditional around holidays. We see it in low volume in the stock markets. It's kind of a telltale sign that vacation and season is upon us. As you say, this week, Friday the 4th, is an official holiday, but in all practicality, there may be about three and a half good days of work out there this week. Still, there were lots of news to digest, despite the visions of beaches and hammocks. The jobs report for June will be released on Thursday morning. Estimates are very positive. New jobs around 220,000 for the prior month. Unemployment rate is expected to stay around 6.3%. We also heard last week more good news from the housing market. New home sales in the U.S. spiked up 18% in May, and that's not a typo, 18% in May. One of the best moves in many years, showing a lot of pent-up demand. We also heard that the U.S. is going to allow exporting of ultralight or unrefined oil for the first time in 40 years. And that's a very big deal, Wayne, as it shows that U.S. energy production is increasing rapidly and allowing consumers to sort of weather the shocks to the system that come from the Middle East and Africa. It wasn't all good news, though, last week, as U.S. GDP for the first quarter was revised downward again in a big way. But more on that shortly in our report.
Okay. All right. Well, we're at the halfway mark of the calendar year, so kind of give us your review. How have we done so far?
Yep. This is kind of like a World Cup team that looks at its halftime stats and considers shift in strategy. But here we go. The first half of 2014 ends today. Hard to believe, but it is true. The scorecard reveals which investments and sectors are doing the best. And here they are. Probably the biggest surprise is that U.S. government bonds, that is treasuries, have done great. By some measures, up as much as 8 to 10% or more for the first half of the year. Everybody, and I mean everybody, Wayne, expected interest rates to rise this year, which would generally mean U.S. government bonds would have done very poorly. U.S. stocks are up roughly 6% for the S&P 500. Gold is up about 10%. Foreign stocks are also up kind of mid-single digits. And emerging markets are up close to 5%. You know, that broad-based gain in unison for all these different asset classes doesn't happen very often. It's been the first time in nearly 20 years that sort of broad-based gain has happened in a half of the year. Within stocks, the best performers have been utilities and real estate stocks, both up an astounding 15% for the first half. Energy and healthcare both up 10-11%, while technology is up about 7 or 8. These are all pretty good returns overall, especially after last year when stocks rose so sharply. What does all this tell us at the midpoint of 2014? Well, it tells us that investors are still very hungry for dividends because interest rates are still rock-bottom levels. Utilities and REITs got crushed this time last year when rates spiked up, but investors are still piling in. It's also a reflection of Federal Reserve policy, which many analysts interpret to being very protective of the stock market. In other words, while the Fed continues to reduce its bond buying, they've made it very clear they'll do whatever is necessary to keep economic progress going. Key takeaway, Wayne, is that some investors are very cautious as markets are at all-time highs, but they still see value in dividend producers and foreign markets.
What's the health of the IPO market?
Well, I would say it's good. It's been a very good year for companies to go public. About 150 deals so far this year, which is about 50% higher than last year's total. And while the reputations of IPOs is, you know, moonshot gains and doubling money and all that, the average first day gain is still a very respectable 14% or so, which has been good. The deals are also very spread out among different sectors, energy, technology, biotechnology, real estate. So that's a good sign. The latest high-profile issue was GoPro. the maker of the sports-oriented cameras that you can strap to your body or your helmet while you're skiing and things like that. GoPro was priced at the high end of its range and even exceeded that by roughly 30%. You know, while it's clear that GoPro's revenues themselves and profits are rising quickly, the health of the IPO market is also a sign of investor attitudes. Basically, there's been a steady, consistent demand for IPOs because overall market volatility has been very low this year. We've seen time and time again that when volatility picks up, i.e. that means triple-digit losses and gains nearly every day, the IPO market just shuts down. So bottom line for now, the IPO market is signaling that investors are willing to take on risk, and it's not all in one sector like the tech craze of 2000.
Well, as you mentioned earlier, the GDP has been revised downward for the first quarter of the year.
Yeah.
And I guess there could be some practical reasons, such as the harsh winter weather we had and so forth. But what do you think? What's the story behind that?
Well, here are the facts. The U.S. GDP was revised downward nearly 3% in the first quarter, the worst performance in nearly 6 years since the Great Recession. I mean, that's bad. The reasons can be debated. You're right. Maybe harsh weather. Maybe it was the rescinding of certain unemployment benefits. Maybe it was more stringent rules on mortgage issuers that took effect in January. It could have been that the Affordable Care Act caused spending on health care to drop in the first quarter. Maybe all that's true, but the big question is, does this augur more bad news to come? History does show that when GDP for a quarter is down 1.5%, 2%, then a recession may be looming, but many leading economists don't think it's likely, mainly because many of these negative events were one-time things. In fact, results for the second quarter ended today, and for the rest of the year, expected to be really good, up over 3%. Now, of course, there'll be bumps in the road along the way, like stock market corrections. They're always going to happen, so it's not going to be placid water all the time. But clearly, stocks reflect a pretty optimistic outlook at this point, which tells us that either investors will be willing to pay more for quality companies or new ideas like IPOs, or companies will have to report better profits going forward. We'll know more soon as earnings reports come rolling in for the second quarter in about 2 weeks.
Okay. Well, Brian, we'll remind everyone that a little bit later this morning, if all goes well, we'll have this conversation published on our website, ideastations.org.
That's right.
Also, while you're at ideastations.org, check out the RBC Global Insight Weekly. And we want to remind everyone to listen in at 5:59 in the afternoon when you and your colleagues bring us the Virginia Stock Report each Monday through Friday afternoon on at least on days when the markets are open.
That's right.
Okay. Brian Ford's report is not a research recommendation for any particular company and does not provide legal or tax advice.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News.